Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and back on the show, I have the wonderful Georgia Dow from anxiety-videos.com, also on imore.com, also Georgia underscore Dow on Twitter. She's also on Twit a lot. She's, usually recording 14 to 18 hours of podcasts a week.
I'm stalking you all on podcasts.
I mean, it's just like you can – the iTunes podcast page should just be like your face and, like I think Jason Snell does like a bunch of podcasts.
That's, yes.
He shows up on like all my podcasts and I don't like subscribe to like any of his podcasts, which is nuts.
Yes. Yes. He's also really podcast prolific.
Man. It's crazy, but it's a great way to talk to people. It's always fun to talk to people with similar interests, and it's great to get you on this show. And you're like, Georgie, I don't know if you noticed this, but you're like, I've been doing this show for almost 10 years, and you're close to being the person that's been on the show the most.
Really?
Isn't that messed up?
That's awesome. That's great. Thank you.
Well, and it's because, you know, one, selfishly, you're cool to talk to because, it's always great to talk about, you know, the mental side and the psychological side of what we're doing in this industry,
right.
which is really tough because a lot of us are trying to kind of fake it based on stuff that we've read or people that we've
right.
talked to. But, you know, what's that movie when they're making fun of me? It's like, oh, this is my job. I can't remember. Anyways, you guys probably know that. You know, it's like, anyways.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out. I'm not good at trick questions.
No, so. It was like, take this seriously. This is my job. Maybe it was like a Saturday Night Live thing. I don't know. But anyways, Georgia, I got you back on, and I wrote down a ton of stuff to talk to you about. And for the people out there, you guys may have noticed like this year and maybe even these last like 2 or 3 months, I've liked to make the shows a little bit more free form to the point where I even like registered domain names for like a new podcast that I would want to do just because I think the best discussions I have on this show are just casual conversations and not just directly continuing to ask questions and get answers and ask questions and stuff.
Right.
So,
right.
But I do have like a couple questions. Like I want to talk because this is the first time that, and this has to do with sleep. This has to do with nighttime stuff. I have for the first time ever enrolled in the Apple beta program to check out iOS, the new iOS beta 2. I forget. I think it's like 9.3 or 9.2.
Oh, okay. You have night shift.
Exactly. For night shift /
right.
You know, kind of flux, if people have checked that out. And I've actually even installed, it's f.lux, but I just call it flux, on my laptop, as well to try to get some of those, that blue light, that blue stimulating light out of my life at night and try to sleep better. And I don't know if it's anecdotal, like I'm not doing a sleep study on myself, but I think it's actually been super beneficial.
Yeah. Well, so how it works, and I wrote an article on this on iMore, but it's slightly inaccurate, so I'll fix it up here. So during the daytime, we're awake, but when we go to like the twilight time, when it starts to get to be darker, mm-hmm. that's when our body builds up melatonin, and melatonin makes us feel sleepy. Now, the problem is that blue light inhibits our production of melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
And computer systems, tech, gives off a lot of blue light. And so when you use something like, you know, flux or night shift, it makes your screen go to a yellow light, so you get much less blue light, so it doesn't inhibit the melatonin and it lets you get to be more sleepy. And so I will definitely be using it because I love to play Candy Crush. I know, don't judge. or read articles before I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bad for you. You should not be using your tech before you go to sleep, but that's the one that I've kept and I sleep pretty well, so I'm keeping it. But I would like to be more tired more easily. And so because of that, I'm going to be using night shift. It will make your screen yellow, but you will adjust to it. And some people have found that it's exceptionally yellow and they're used to a white screen. Mm-hmm. You won't mind. And you can change the yellowness of the screen as well. So you don't have to make it exceptionally yellow if you don't want to.
Yeah, I messed around with that a little bit, and like it's nice they put it right on the did they call it like mission control on the iPhone, like when you flip it up from the bottom? What do they call it?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. You know, you if you have an iPhone, you flip it up from the bottom, you get access to like your flashlight and your camera and your calculator and stuff. And that's where they put the new night shift tab, and they allow you to, you know, if you want, you can always like turn it off and have it automatically flip back on for tomorrow. But like we've talked about how I'm kind of that person that, you know, gets in bed and sometimes I open up my Kindle and I go after that and I read something in there. But sometimes, like, you know, a lot of my reading is based on like articles on the internet, or even it might just be really great to have the opportunity to just, you know, pare things down and use the, and surprisingly, like the Kindle on, like if you have an iPhone, like I have an iPhone 6 Plus, and like the Kindle app is friggin' awesome on that.
Really?
Well, it's just like, you know, the screen's just big enough to make reading on that, you know, quite enjoyable. And you know, that was just had me thinking, yeah, it'd be great to do some Kindle reading and just have my phone with me when I travel and not have to also bring the Kindle with me if I want to get some reading done. And, it's working great. I mean, I feel like I just pass out like 5 minutes after I get into bed anyways, but,
wonderful.
I hope they can get this stuff out there for everyone else.
Oh, they definitely will. It's been really popular.
And it's rock solid beta for someone that's first time doing Apple beta stuff.
Apple betas are pretty stable. Like they usually have things like battery issues or drainage issues or, you know, like some little tiny bugs. But by the time that they bring out a beta, it's probably already been, it's been in-house tested quite a lot.
And sticking on sleep for a second and also like on iOS stuff, just because this has come up a lot with travel. I use this app called White Noise, which is literally like you flip it on and you get that.
Right.
And actually, I should be more specific. That's Brown Noise, after a guy with the last name Brown, not just due to the noise color, which actually is a thing. Like noise color is a thing. But I was wondering if you had any recommendations for any kind of like sleep apps as well for the iPhone for people that may have trouble sleeping. I don't know if you've looked into that stuff at all.
Yeah, one is you can get, any of one of the sleep trackers that you can just check out what are your sleep patterns. And the nice thing is that you're probably sleeping more than you expect to, because a lot of people are in the the alpha and beta waves, and you're relatively conscious and they think that they're awake, but they're actually slightly asleep. And so that would track your sleep and when you're really awake. And so I think that's one thing that's good if you're truly worried about your sleep. And I don't use any noise when I'm traveling. If I'm traveling somewhere else or with the dog, sometimes we'll put on some white noise. Mm-hmm. I use Relaxing Melodies Oriental because I like, to have a little bit of an oriental touch to the music that I listen to. And so that has lots of different choices. So you can have, let me put up my sound here. You can have waves. Mm-hmm. Then you can have like music. And it's kind of cool. You can do flutes and other things.
So you sleep with that on?
I used to.
Okay.
I don't. I like to sleep with nothing. The reason is that I don't want to get myself adapted to needing something.
Oh, yeah.
In order to sleep. I think that it's a good thing when you travel and when there's going to be noises that are going to... So when you... In deep sleep, probably nothing's going to wake you up. Mm-hmm. But when you're in those 10 to 15 minutes, when you're in the light sleep, any noise that is... different than what your surroundings usually have. And if you are a light sleeper, or if you're a little bit more worried, or if, you know, you're going to be giving a presentation and so you're a little bit more nervous, then you're going to be woken up and then you're going to start worrying, and that's going to keep you awake. And so that's when it's going to be really good to use something that's going to be a regular white noise. The nice thing about white noise is that it's going to drown out most speech and people talking and other things like that. It may not, there's a really loud bang or someone closes a door because you're in a hotel room, that may not drown it out and you may still wake up. But you want to always also have a really good set of what to say during those times. Mm-hmm. But I'll go back to the noise factor. And so when you're traveling, it's nice to have something like that that will, even if you're putting on, if it's during the summertime, putting on the air conditioning will help. Something that's humming and that, you know, it's a steady rhythmic set of noises. It's noises that stand out, that are different from the base level of noise, that are going to wake you up during that period of time. And so I'll use it if I need to when I'm traveling.
That may be my problem, because I've gotten addicted over the years to having a fan on at night. And pair that up with like the just worst luck that I've had over the last couple months traveling, where I swear to God, I've been constantly getting the room that's right. Like, you get out of the elevator, it's the room right in front of you. So there's tons of traffic when, you know, at night when I'm trying to sleep, and it's 2016. How have we not created a door that doesn't like close slowly then slam shut in hotels? What are we doing?
That's a great point.
It's so loud.
They don't make doors that will close and they will be, you know, noiseless. That's a really good point. You can request a room that's further from the elevator, though.
I know, but I'm just like, I guess you would call that laziness, where I just don't want to go. Like, okay. I just like,
yes, you would call that laziness.
Yeah, it's like I'm in the room. I already put my stuff out. I was on a train for 4 hours, or I just flew for 6 hours. Like, I don't want to go down there and, you know, complain or something like that. So you're right. That's my fault.
No, it's not your fault. I think that it's probably a mix of many different things. But, you know, being in a new environment, people are more alert anyways, and it's harder to sleep often. I sleep pretty well in a hotel because I have, like, dogs and kids. So it's like the hotel is like, woohoo. But we did have someone that once they were reinstalling all of their wires for their internet connections at 7 o'clock in the morning. And it was like this big metal coil that they're dragging across a wooden piece of the ceiling.
Great.
And it made a noise like someone was like sawing someone else to death. It was horrific. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe that they would do that at that time without a warning. Anyways, we got our money back, but still.
Okay. That's pretty solid. I will say, every time I've stayed in Japan, I've never, ever, ever had issues with noise in the hotel. Everyone is super quiet. Everyone is super, like, conscious of the noise that they're making in the hall. And it is just a beautiful,
they're thoughtful, thoughtful,
thoughtful. There you go.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. We are not.
No. And I'm
not.
Georgia, I'm staying, like, I'm going back there in April, and I'm again staying in a hotel room that is like, I think it's like 200 square feet or something like that. Like, it is super, super small. And that means they're stacking the rooms like one next to each other. And Japan is known for their paper thin walls. Never, ever, ever an issue with noise. And I just think we as a country, and there's 300 million of us, but maybe we could step it up and be a little bit more considerate when we go out drinking, to not like be like, oh man, I'm so drunk, let's go slam on the walls and stumble down the hallways. Let's not do that.
I think that we're vastly unaware, because it's not taught as a culture. We're taught, instead of communalism and to work together and think about the culture, we're all about the individual. And so our culture is getting worse in that way, because we're more about us. It's all about me, me, me. And it doesn't matter about them. And it doesn't matter if I stole that person's parking lot, but at least I got mine.
Yeah.
And that's given accolades. Like, we raise people that do that on pedestals, and good for you, fighting for what you need. And yeah, don't let that person get away with that. And that's kind of what you see on TV and news and media. Mm-hmm. And we're all, you know, so easily, you know, gonna, you know, fight the good fight, and instead of, you know, thinking about us as a community and think about everyone. And, you know, even for eating habits, when I used to work with my sifu, you know, they only take what they will eat. So when, you know, you share all of your food, but they would only put into their bowl what they would eat right now. And that would be from one area. And here I am, like, you know, and it wasn't meant to be rude, but here I am, like, taken from six different things. I'm piling up my bowl on the first round of eating. Yes. And someone very kindly told me, you know, well, this is how it's actually done, to be polite, so that make sure that you've thought of everyone. You just eat what you're going to eat right now, and then you can get more. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. I felt bad because I was a little bit embarrassed because I was so rude, but I'm happy someone said something.
Oh, geez. Let's talk. This is something that came up with someone that I was talking to a couple weeks ago on the show, Josh Hillis. I don't know if we talked about this during the show or not, but I think I want to talk to you about the concept of perceived value, because we were talking, and you're kind of the perfect person to talk to just because you're in, you know, the circle of covering Apple stuff. And I apologize if you're not like an Apple fan. Like, this isn't really a discussion about Apple. It's more of just like, you know, what perceived value is and how it kind of affects our habits, or maybe even our behaviors when it comes to our actions. Like, the way that I kind of talked to him about it was, like, I can go into an Apple store and I can kind of go in and think, like, all right, well, I'm going to go in, I'm going to spend like $1,300 on a laptop. And then I get to kind of looking around and I talk to one of the incredible people that they somehow find. Like, they just steal all the nice people and put them in their store.
They do.
Best Buy just like grabs people off the street. But the thing is that you kind of go in there and you are having such a great experience that you feel really good about, even though you were going to spend $1,300, you end up spending $2,300, but you feel really good about it. Like, you feel, not only did I make a great decision,
yes,
not only am I feel safe in the decision that I made, but also I feel great that I spent $2,300 because of the environment that they put you in.
Right.
And I was just wondering if you've had, like, if you have any idea, like, why we kind of feel that way in environments like that. And I want to kind of maybe see if we can spin this, because, like, a lot of people own gyms that, like, listen to this, or they work at facilities where you also want people to feel like it doesn't matter what it costs to come train here. It doesn't matter what it costs to go here.
Yeah.
This is my credit card. Keep it on file. Charge the crap out of it. Just let me keep coming through the door and having the experience that I get to have with you as a personal trainer, with you at your facility or something like that. What is this all about?
Oh, it's brilliant. So Apple ensures that when they train and you get trained when you work at Apple, and their job is not to sell you things. It's not to sell you products. Their job is to help you.
Wait. So this is like, have you seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
No.
Oh, jeez, Georgia.
Sorry.
Oh, at least
I
you watched.
Flight. I saw Flight.
Thank Jesus God. Okay. Forgetting Sarah. Never mind. I'm gonna say this for the audience that appreciates great funny movies. You know, it's basically like when Kunu was saying, "Do less," and when he was starting to do less. It's kind of like that. They'll get what I mean. You won't. Add it to your list. That is a funny movie that you should absolutely see. Okay, it is a great movie.
Okay. Well, because the products are supposed to sell themselves. So the people there are not salesmen. Mm-hmm. They'll sell you something if you want it. But they're there to help you. And so the brilliant thing is that they're there to sell you a feeling, not a product. So their job is to make you feel cared about, to take the time with you, to make sure that if you're not sure about something, you have the space. That's why they're very spacious. Everything is set out. You're allowed to touch, use, and to spend as long there as you want without feeling inundated. And so it's exceptionally welcoming. And that works beautifully. So people don't get commission by selling you things because they're worried about having a very salesman-y feeling to their stores.
Mm.
But if you don't understand a product, they're there to show you, take as long as necessary, talk to you, you know, find out what your needs are and make sure that you feel cared about. And that's the lovely thing is that they'll, you know, if you have no clue about Apple products, they do free camps for kids,
Mm-hmm.
You get t-shirts, you're like amazing, make
that's
movies.
So rad.
They teach you about how to use their products there. You can go to free classes on how to use things. They have the huge help desks. They do the brilliant. They have the brilliant understanding of how people work, and what happens is that people don't remember what they saw or what you said. They do remember how you made them feel.
Right.
And that's why people go back. Because if you feel cared about and thought of and that you're important, you're going to want to go back to get that experience again. And that's the same thing for therapy. It's the same thing for coaching. It's the same thing for working in a gym. And so I think that it's a great analogy of people need to be more thoughtful of that, of what is this person wanting to get from me instead of what do I want to do for them.
God, it's just like, I want to say it was maybe Roosevelt that said people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care or something like that.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. It's just something that I thought about and we've had like books based on like how Google works and we've kind of had like the Steve Jobs book and we've had like the Zappos book on customer service. I would absolutely love if someone wrote a book on like how Apple's customer service and their sales or, you know, lack of thereof sales like works for how they treat people and stuff like that. Because I think that would be just, that would absolutely crush in sales for people. Like how many people bought the Zappos books, like, and all that stuff.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, they will convince you to just, like they won't convince you, but like I said, they just, it's a magical thing where you can feel better about almost spending money that you can't like afford or you don't have, but you have an incredible experience and you go home and you feel like I did the right thing.
Yes. And the lovely thing is that if you take like any product that you use, you have to think about like, how many hours are you going to be using this product? And then break that down through the year.
Right.
And then you can tell how much a product really costs. And so that's why, for me, buying a new laptop every few years, it's not a big deal for me because I'm going to use this and get my money's worth out of it compared to a meal or a shirt that I may not like and then never wear at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is really the cost in between both of them? My phone I have always next to me, which, you know, probably is a bad thing. But because of that, it brings back its money to its time, and I know that it's going to work well, and I'm not going to have to go through a whole bunch of issues, and if there's a bug in it, it'll be fixed. So that peace of mind gives back to me.
And this is coming from someone that I think we – I don't know if we talked about it in this segment. No, we talked about it in the agenda-free segment, but like I'm someone that is a constant buyer and seller of laptops and like getting the latest stuff and – like, you know, the great thing about getting Apple stuff is that it holds its value incredibly well, like to the point where I bought my 13-inch MacBook for, I think it was like $1,600, and I sold it for $1,400 6 months later.
Like, yes.
It's, you know, it's really not something that loses value. So you can be a crazy person like me, and if they have new MacBooks in next month, I'll probably buy the new 15-inch MacBook just because that's that's how I roll.
And being able to have the newest piece of technology is also really fun. I'm going to say this probably doesn't fit in the segment, but I'll say it anyways. We've ordered the Oculus Rift, so.
Oh, great.
I'm so excited. Anyway, a different show, but anyways, I'm really excited to be able to get it and play it. So.
I don't think it is a different show because I'm curious how you think that tool of Oculus Rift, like if people don't know out there, it's basically, you know, it's a virtual reality headset and it's not Lawnmower Man. Like it's not Lawnmower Man virtual reality. Like it is, you know, nice, like basically high definition 3D virtual reality that is really taking off. Like, it's not only them, but also Samsung is working on it. Also, Sony is working on their version, and Microsoft has something a little bit different going on with their augmented reality stuff. But do you think technology like this and tools like this could be used as a tool for something that you do as a therapist to help people improve their mental state or their view on some things?
Yes, I do. I think that it has a lot of great applications. I think that they won't be out for a while, probably like 5 to 10 years till they have really great applications. They already have. So if you have a fear or phobia, the way that we handle it is that, you know, you're scared of the dark or you're scared of an elevator. Mm-hmm. What we do is I simulate it at first in session. So I bring a picture of a spider and then we...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, I draw a spider and then I bring like, you know, I have you download pictures of spiders, stick them in your room.
Oh,
we start with cute spiders. We start with the cuter spiders. Jumping spiders are very cute. Baby jumping spiders, adorable. Just letting you know. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of strange spider facts. Anyways, and then after that, we watch gifts of spiders, cute spiders, and then we watch gifts of non-cute spiders, and we are slowly acclimatizing your limbic system to spike, and then nothing bad happened, and so then your limbic system learns, okay, I guess this is not actually a threat. Now, at some point, I bring in a spider to the session, which is funny because that means I'm wrangling a spider at home or searching through my office for a spider, which is exceptionally clean and very hard to find a spider, and then capturing the poor little guy. It's like an alien abduction. And then bringing it to my office. And then I have to warn everyone because, you know, a lot of people don't like spiders. I have to put it away somewhere. And then I bring out a real spider. And then we touch this spider. And so to be able to have the step to virtual reality, and if you could really see your hands in front of you and put a spider on your hand, that we have to make it simulated as being friendly, would be a beautiful step. And I wonder if because we virtual reality can get so good, because if when your hands move, your eyes see that, and then the spider would be on your hand, we would see that as real. Our brains are not as sophisticated as we think they are, but we would believe that. Mm-hmm. And so the lovely thing about this is that I wonder if I wouldn't even have to find, wrangle, bring in a spider, that would probably be enough so that people with a extreme spider phobia that aren't able to go into their house because of a fear of spiders or into other new places or even have a picnic would be able to get over it just with virtual reality.
And you can write it off, right? It's like a business expense. Like, I got to get this as research.
Yes, of course it is. Yes, I like this idea.
So when I'm playing, you know, whatever it is, I don't know. God, I don't know. I haven't really – see, the problem with me, and maybe this is somewhat applicable to this show, is like I haven't played video games in almost 2 weeks. I haven't touched a video game, which
– Really?
Yeah, you know me. Like I you know, have a somewhat popular retro video game podcast
yes.
that I haven't done episodes on in a while. But I've you know, for me, if people have been like following the website, like I've had this journey of a more minimalist lifestyle over maybe the last like year or 18 months. But I'm literally down to like – I think I have maybe – I have like 10 – or maybe 12 old like retro cartridges in my house now. Like I'm down to 10 or 12.
Really?
Yeah. And the only other games that I really have are like, I have a bunch of 3DS cards, which don't take up much space. I got rid of all the cases and I got rid of like, I've scaled down so much, but the incredible benefits that it's had on how I feel, honestly, like Georgia, this is good. I mean, you may have like, this might sound, make sense to you, but like the incredible difference that it's had on how I feel about myself and, how I, in the best way I could put it when I was writing, like I feel prouder and I like the person that I am a lot more.
Yes.
Because I haven't thought about playing, a video game. I haven't thought about like I sometimes guest on my friend's like Player One podcast. I haven't had to think about, oh man, I got to play something this week just so I have something to talk about, or I have to follow the news so I have something to talk about. Like it's been so great to just focus on work that I like doing. And then also the incredible like health mental health benefits it's had on me, and then also in turn, just the what's the best way to describe this? Maybe just how, like, maybe it's just happier. Like happier, yeah, and more positive that, yes, I am to the point where, like, I'm writing, like, I'm trying to, like, keep, I've written four friggin' posts, like four blog posts, things for my website in the last 4 days. And
wow,
that's like after writing two in the last year.
That's amazing.
It's just like, it's putting me in a position mentally and physically to want to work on this other stuff and to,
right,
not,
it's
not
giving you the space to,
it's giving me the space to. But I think it, like, a big part of it is also, like, you know, again, it's not like I'm not shopping for games. I'm not, like, looking for deals. I'm not, like, doing anything that's, like, revolving around that. And it's gotten me to the point where, like, as much as it, like, kind of sucks to say, like, I think I might really, for a large part, say goodbye to that as part of my life and still hold on to, like, a portable, like a 3DS or something like that to play some fun stuff when I'm traveling and things like that. But,
right. It's a wonderful thing. I think it's amazing that you did that. I think that it's hard for people because we become attached to things and they become part of our identity.
Well, it took 18 months. Like,
but you did it.
Yeah.
Some people will never do that. That's such a hard thing to let go because you have to redefine who you are as a person when you let go of the pieces of your identity that you were attached to and made you who you were.
And that scared the shit out of me, Georgia.
Of course. I can totally get that.
Because that it was the, and this is me being super real, because hopefully people can kind of, like, if you have something that you're really into and that you almost get, like, I would say obsessive about.
Yes.
Like, one of my biggest fears were, like, oh man, like, maybe I'm going to not talk to these people on the video game side of my life as much, like, knowing my friends in Japan who are, right, like, big into video games or like I said, like, doing the Back of My Play show where I get to talk to a lot of people that I, like, follow in the industry. And, like, that was kind of scaring me. Like, does that mean I'm not going to be able to do that anymore? Does that close the door,
mm-hmm,
off to that? And even if it does, to a certain extent, I'm getting so much more value out of, it's so weird to say, like, just not having that need to, man, I don't feel good about myself and I'm living a pretty good life. It's okay, guys. Like, I'm really, it's just, you know, certain levels.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't feel the need to, oh man, I'm having a bad day. I'm either going to make a poor eating decision or I'm going to go do some shopping, which is what we kind of do to make,
yes,
us feel better. I'm not going to,
yeah,
wait. And then, like, that game will come up. I'll open it up. I'll feel awesome about it for, I'm not kidding, like 30 seconds. I'll put it on my shelf and then I won't touch it ever.
Yeah.
Which, once I kind of recognized that and I really, really recognized it, then that's when I was able to make these changes and understand, like, all right, this really, I'm 30, Georgia. This isn't the life that I wanted to. And that was a huge, like,
was that a huge impetus to be different?
Yeah, it was. It allowed me to kind of, like, grab onto that and carry that momentum of, like, all right, well, that's, come on, Kev, like, there's other things that you want to do in your life. Like I said, I want to go to Hawaii. So
cool.
I used all this money of stuff that I sold and I had enough to fund a week-long trip to Hawaii. I'm not,
whoa,
kidding.
Awesome.
Like that much stuff. So it's just about replacing kind of those things, those physical things with just like new experiences. Like, oh yeah, that's the kind of person that I want to be. That's someone, yeah, who, like, I would want to hang out with.
Exactly.
Not the other guy who I was before. So
yeah. Yeah. And
nuts.
I love that you saw that it was like an avoidance technique to give you,
yeah,
a simulated shot of dopamine that makes you feel good and motivated, but that it doesn't actually change. Like, and that's the reason that I stopped playing, and I play video games, but I don't play a lot of video games. And I used to play a lot of video games. Like,
except Candy Crush.
I still play Candy Crush, but I play it like, probably more than I should. Anyway, but the reason I stopped playing like really addictive games, and is that here I am leveling up this character, spending a lot of time and effort on this character, and I'm not leveling up me. Mm. And then the game is gone, and all of these cool skills are gone, and I don't get to keep them. And I remember one of the biggest shocks. I was playing Cooking Mama, and here I am cooking, making. It's a Wii game where you simulate cooking, but it's like it takes the almost the same amount of time that you would actually have to cook it.
Yep.
So I'm making creme caramel and Cooking Mama, and it's like kind of fun, but not. And then at the end, I don't get to eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. I've learned nothing. I've learned no skills from this. And instead, I could really be cooking, and then I get to eat whatever I've cooked. And so I thought to myself that instead of leveling up and making really cool characters that have really cool skills, I'm like, I should really spend my effort and time leveling me up and giving me really cool skills and experiences instead. And that avoiding the things that I need to get done doesn't really, you know, stop it. I still carry all the same rocks in my backpack.
Right.
And it's better just to get to those rocks and take them out of your backpack. It's not going to be any more fun to do it later.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, part of my rationalization too is like, if I really need to scratch that itch, it's literally 2 days away from my house from Amazon, or it's an eBay purchase. If I really feel like, man, this is something that I really, really want to do, I can, you know, buy something and reclaim it and play it and then get rid of it again. It's not a finite resource. It's not a fossil fuel. It is something that's easy to get a hold of. And, you know, there's lots of digital ways to get access to this stuff today too. But, I can't, you know, if people are like interested, you can go to thefitcast.com. Like I've literally written like four pieces on this thing now, just because it's taken so long in Georgia. I'm talking about an IKEA, like 6-shelf IKEA bookcase that was overflowing to the sides, and stuff was on the floor.
Wow.
of games, down to a Tupperware container that's in a closet.
That's so impressive. That's so impressive. It's hard to let go of who we were and change that. That's really hard to do. It reminds me so much of, and I think that we spoke about this before, of like the Fight Club.
Yep.
You know, philosophy of stuff and getting less is more instead of more is more. And I love that. You should be really proud of yourself. I find that that's really hard. I still have, and I'm looking as you're talking about, like books from like my courses that I did. And I'm like, am I ever going to read that again? And I you lie to yourself and say, yeah, but maybe if I need, and really it's the answer is no.
That's totally what I was doing. And I did it with not only like you're saying, books. Like I got rid of, I think I may have like 16 books. I've gone to completely to a Kindle. I buy everything on Kindle and Audible at the same time. And my rationale behind that is because I read a lot of books, and I like to bounce between them. They do Whisper Sync. And then also, the Kindle app on your computer, you can actually just go into that and you can copy paste stuff that you want to hold on to.
Nice.
So thank God for letting me do that. But yeah, like DVD cases or Blu-ray cases, they're all gone. I still have my Blu-ray movies, but they're just in two big disc wallets. And like, it's just not having that stuff around is way less stressful to look at. Man, I wish I had more time to do that stuff. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. So yeah, went down that rabbit hole. So we've talked about, you know, so many different things on this show, and I think we'll go for like a couple more minutes, but I think maybe the best thing that we should wrap up on is for people out there that we've gone into the new year. We did a show actually like right near the new year with you. And, you know, now that we're kind of getting, we may have had that effect wear off, you know what I mean? Like we kind of had that new year effect wear off a little bit. Is there any advice that you have for people in terms of maybe reevaluating, you know, what those goals were for the year of 2016, maybe reevaluating, you know, what you've done up until this point to make sure that those things do continue to stick, or maybe, you know, how to possibly refine them if they need to be?
Yeah, I think that everyone, and I think that it should be something that you think about, you know, daily. It's what do you want to, what would you be happy to accomplish today? And then you want to say, you know, cut it down into small pieces. We often, when we make New Year goals or yearly goals or what my new me is going to be like, we make really large statements because we want to impress ourselves, others, the world, whatever that might be, whatever we get caught up in. And you want it to be something that is manageable. And that means like 15, 30 minutes a day towards a goal. And that won't get you feeling really dejected. So if you have not yet started on a goal, you have to ask yourself these questions. One is, did you really want to do it? Two, like maybe you really want to do it, but the amount of effort and time that it will take. So I would love to be as good of a martial artist as Jackie Chan. I would have loved, that would have been awesome. That would be just awesome. But there's no way I have the time, effort, money, and anything else to be able to do that. And so you have to say, okay, well, maybe I'll just get better at the techniques that I already know, mm-hmm. or more fit this year, or I'm going to try to eat better. But you really should only work on 1 to 2 goals at a time. You can't do 6, 7, 8 different goals. You need to prioritize what's important to you and what you can do now. So if you have something that is ahead of you right now, because say that you're needing to move or you need to get a new job, that has to be your priority first. And so we, because of the way that our culture is set up and it's very individualistic and everyone's saying, oh, you should, you know, reach your full potential and reach enlightenment and do things that are impressive. Living a simple life is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It really is not. That is perfectly valid. You do not have to impress anyone. Just be a better person. Love yourself more. Be good to you. And so we put all of these extrinsic goals on ourselves of things that we need to do and accomplish to be considered worthy. I the entire thing is relatively unusual when you really think about it. Why are we doing this? You don't get to keep any of this stuff, mm-hmm. right? It's all gone in the end. What do you get to keep but for how you make other people feel, the relationships that you have, how you've changed other people's worlds. Mm-hmm. That's what you get to keep, not if you're driving a bigger, better, fabulous car, you know, better tech. And you can enjoy that, but it's not really who you are as a person. And so you need to say, is it important to me? And why didn't I do it? Is it because my goals were too big? Is it because I don't really want to put the effort in that I would have to? Mm-hmm. Then let it go. Or say, well, this is what I have to do, and let's make steps to go towards it. But people that don't make concrete steps to get towards a goal often do not get towards a goal because they don't know how to get there. And the want is not enough. We love to think that the want would be enough for us to do it. If you want it enough, you'll do it. That's not enough. You need to then go through the planning phase of, and I don't love planning things, but if I really want something, I will plan it out. And then I will go through the steps of how to do it, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes a day, and then set a reminder so that you're not, you haven't forgotten it. You may choose to close off the reminder and not do it, but then that's a conscious choice. And you can't do the usual lie to ourselves thing, which we do all the time, mm-hmm. of, oh, I was sick today. Oh, this is, you know, you'll say, no, I turned it off because I didn't want to do it today. And you have to be really honest. And that's kind of a scary thing to do because often you confront yourself with issues and personality traits that you may not want to see. But then at least if you see them, you can change them if you want to.
God, that's so huge. And that's so true. And when you were saying all that, like the thing that I wrote down was this, you know, the whole thing that I just talked about for 10 or 15 minutes or whatever it was, like that was something that I needed to do to get on doing what I wanted to do. Like I had, right. I had to finish that. I had to get it all done. And it, like I said, it went like over 18 months. Like I did a big chunk, then a couple months later, I did a big chunk. My maybe one regret, or maybe I needed to do this. Maybe it just was part of like the process, but my one kind of like regret was like, maybe I wish I did this sooner and I did it all at once. And because like now I know like this is something that's, it sounds not necessarily fake, but like it's hard to kind of believe unless you do it yourself and you have a, you know what it's like to kind of have this huge like weight or, and it sounds so dumb. It's stupid video games. It's stuff that you own.
No, but don't do that. Don't do that because people get attached to all kinds of things. It could be books. It could be cats. It could not real cats, fake cats. It could be
real cats
or real cats. You know, it could be pieces of clothing that you used to wear and it could be anything. We're made to be attached to things to make us feel safe or to be filled. Because you weren't attached to the video game. You were attached to the feeling the video game gave you.
Right.
So it's not about the video game. It's about the sentimentality, the bringing you back, the avoidance time, the happiness that object held. Mm-hmm. It isn't about the video games. And so people often get stuck because the object may be something that is not regarded in our culture And it has nothing to do with the object. It has everything to do to the emotional value that we have attributed that object to.
It's just so worth doing it. Like, I think, like George was saying, kind of like identify like the number one thing that you feel is holding you back. That is,
yes,
is that limiting factor, and make it priority number one to deal with that stuff. Because once it's done and once it's over, everything is just so much better. And you know, hopefully you guys will continue. Like, honestly, it was to the point where this week my athletes said, Kevin, there's something different.
Really? Like, that's great.
Like, just in terms of like my energy is just having way more fun. Like, it is something that we should all try to work on. So maybe take a minute, think about what's that like one thing that you want to get done or do or get rid of or whatever.
Yeah. And it might be even just a trait in you.
Yeah. God, identifying the, I apologize for rambling, but it's like one of the big things for me is like, okay, what's the person that I want to be? Like, I wrote down a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Like, I want to travel and go to cool places. I want to give back to the organizations that I believe in. I want to, be like social to the point where the only time that I'm home is like when I really need it. Like when I really need a night in, that's when I want to be home.
Yes.
And God, just like doing that stuff immediately, it's the personality's changed. The energy levels have changed. And things are like badass. So
love it. I think that's great. I think that's really amazing. I think that that'll help other people that have, you know, have allowed things to take over, you know, the emotional spaces in their world. And then it frees up you to be able to evolve into, not being held back by it, by letting yourself go forward.
Well, I think we may be at the end of our time, but, one thing I did miss is that Georgia is also on Isometrics. So it's one of the 1,400 podcasts that she's on weekly. Weird. That she is on. If you want to hear more about video games, and like that's one of the things. Like, I feel like I can just get that itch scratched. Like, if I just hear like you, Steve, and Brie like talk about games, like maybe that's all I need is to hear you guys talk about stuff and have Sam like talk about Street Fighter. Man, maybe I don't need Street Fighter V. I just need, if you guys just talk about it, then I can kind of feel like, oh yeah, that's the experience that I was going to get anyway. So
right,
that would be good. And also, I want to mention anxiety-videos.com, which you've really put together just a crazy good collection of videos up there for people to. I mean, I think the number one thing that we need to all work on is sleep. We're terrible at it.
Yes,
and. As like fitness professionals and people that are trying to help others, like one of the number one things that we can help ourselves with, and then in doing so, potentially help others with, is help people get better sleep. So
yeah, and there's like 100. Like we went through like I think I don't know 30 or 50 different techniques, and so that's the cool part is that there's just like little tiny techniques. Just use 5 at a time. There's like way too many to do all of them at once. That'll cause you more anxiety, and you're not going to sleep. But they're just good for ourselves. And I think that we need to spend more time in that. And if you're training, you need to have the time to let your body repair. And that happens when you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Oh God. God, that baby asleep just looks so comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's $60 Canadian, which is like, it's like $13 US.
It is. They're almost free. Like really, if you're thinking about getting them, you should probably get them now because it's still in Canadian. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah. We're almost paying you to buy them.
I have no idea how the whole system of money and value of dollars and economies work. So I'm not going to try to get into that, but, definitely head over there and check out those videos. And, you know, one of the big things that I'm really into is hearing about like Apple News and things like that. So Georgia is relatively frequently on. Actually, you've been on like the iMore podcast like regularly now. Is that like?
Yeah, we're gonna try. I work a lot, and during psychotherapy, it's my hours are pretty set. I can't change them very easily, and so now we've moved it to a time where I can usually be on. So I'm gonna probably be on. a while. People were really sweet when we asked what we wanted to change on the show. A lot of people asked for me, which was really sweet. I felt that was very touching. It healed the little girl that used to be bullied when she was tiny. So that was very kind. And so we're going to try to have myself, and we'll probably have some other people coming on too every now and then, so that we have more dialogue and more banter and differing opinions and views on the show.
Well, I mean, it's just great because especially if you're like, you know, a new Apple product or something comes out and you're thinking like, oh, is this new iPad, like the iPad Pro, is that going to be, you know, for me? You guys always go super in depth. And the best thing about it is that it is logical and positive. The weird thing, and we were talking about in the Agenda Free segment, like the news cycle and stuff like that. Like Apple News, like it's not really Apple, like news is not big unless it's negative. Like how can we spin this negatively? Right. Because that's going to get clicks and stuff. But you guys have very logical discussions on that stuff. And just great stuff. And of course, you're on, you know, Twitch shows. You're popping up on, like, you know, MacBreak Weekly, and you're going to be, or this is going to come out way after that came out, but you're going to be on Twit this week as well.
Yes, I am. I am. I'm so excited.
And hopefully the dogs perform just as well as they did for this one.
I hope so. They were really good, but who knows?
And I don't know if I'm missing, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, am I missing anything else major podcast-wise, or do you have any events coming up? Any, like, speaking stuff? Are you going to get down to the States?
Yeah, I'm going to be talking at Coco Love. That's going to be in October. That's in Philadelphia. And and so that's my only speaking engagement so far this year. So
maybe you can go on vacation.
I might. I was thinking of Hawaii, actually. But we'll see. We're going to wait till the dollar boosts up a little bit because it's a really expensive Hawaiian trip. So I might be sticking to Canada. But who knows? Maybe I'll go down and you know, do some whale washing. And who knows?
I'm telling you, ever since I told people, like, I'm thinking about going to Hawaii, everyone that I've talked to, like, I've gotten so many people that reach out to be like, you absolutely have to go. It was the best vacation that we've ever been on. Maui is, like, the most beautiful spot on the planet. I'm like, all right, yeah, don't stop convincing me. I'm going. It's just...
Oh, yeah, and, like, I want to do some scuba diving. Like, yeah, anyways.
And you can do... Like, see, this is why you need to watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall, because it takes place in Hawaii. So you get to look at the beautiful scenery, and it will give you that...
Because you have to wait. I can only watch it then after our dollar boosts up, because if not, then I'm going to go through that huge feeling of withdrawal.
Oh, my God. I mean, as long as we don't have to go 6 to 12 months to get you to watch this movie too. quick last thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't done it yet, but Flight of the Navigator. Good, yes. good movie.
It was really cute. I really loved the fact that it was a really different movie. Now, the only thing is that I really heard Pee Wee Herman way too much.
Oh yeah.
Like, he was way too Pee Wee Herman for me. And I'm at the age where, like, that's no longer cute. Like, because
I don't want to hear Pee Wee Herman's voice anymore.
Yeah, that was the only thing. That was where it was. Now, I don't know when in his career this movie came out, because, you know, so I don't know if it was at the beginning of the show or when the Pee Wee Herman show was really popular, or I don't know where, but that pulled me out of the movie. And so I could not, and I love the little tiny creature that, if you haven't seen the movie, this is a small spoiler, but the little creature, I, like, knew that he has to take the creature with him. Like, that little tiny guy that he gets to keep at the home. I love that. Dude. It was so cute.
And, one of the best, most underrated time travel stories, because it messes with that poor kid. Oh my God.
Yes. And I love the fact that they showed the cost. Instead of, which most people don't, they just make it all happy and it doesn't matter. But the cost to being able to move, and how difficult that would be, which I thought was really cool, because we still don't deal with how painful that might have been.
God, go check that out. You guys got movie recommendations. We gave you the formula to having the most positive, incredible life ever. And you also got some Apple stuff in there. So we pretty much just finished what, I mean, you can just shut off all forms of entertainment for the rest of the
You're done.
Year. You're good.
You're good to go.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this episode. And like I mentioned before, if you want to get some more of Georgia's stuff, you can go and follow her on Twitter at Georgia_Dow. I'm at Kevin Larrabee at Fitcast on Twitter for the Fitcast Twitter feed. And if you enjoy the show, it means a lot if you jump on Patreon at patreon.com/thefitcast. You can support the show starting at just $1 per episode. Jenna Free segment is 30 minutes for the Patreon supporters this week, and we get into tons of stuff in terms of crazy politics stuff going on, crazy weather stuff, and also we of course talk about some Apple and my terrible purchasing habits, which have been cleaned up. At least I'm not buying anything.
You've
I'm just
good.
Thinking about it. I think finally, if you enjoy the show, jump on iTunes, subscribe on there, submit a review if you haven't already. If you enjoy the show, just because it helps raise this great quality content up in the rankings, and maybe it gets some of the celebrity not so awesome information back farther down. So let's spread some good information out there. And either way, if you're a Patreon supporter or you're just downloading, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you're a Jenna Free supporter or Patreon supporter, enjoy the Jenna Free segment that's coming up right after this. Georgia, thank you so much for spending the time. We got to talk for another hour and a half. So
thank you for having me.
Oh, this has been a great day for me so far, Georgia. And now I get to lift. I get to do some strength training. And it's just going to – I don't know how I'm going to come down for this, but it's going to be crazy high either way.
Awesome.